This week's parsha is Parshas Balak, and we read about this wicked prophet, Bilam, a Gentile prophet, who was a legendary anti-Semite. And he was hired by another anti-Semite by the name of Balak to curse the Jewish people. Bilam had a very, very potent curse, and it was very dangerous. The Torah relates the story to us because Hashem wants to show us how much He loves us. He protected us, He guarded us from an event that was happening behind our back. We had no idea that this was going on. And this whole thing could have gone unrecorded in the Torah. We would have never known about it because this happened outside of the vicinity where the Jewish people were. We were in the desert, and Bilam was, at this point, we were in the lands of the Amorites, in the lands of Sichon, ready to go into the land of Israel. And Bilam was in the other side of the border with Moab. So it didn't necessarily the Jewish people should find out about this, but Hashem, I guess, revealed this in prophecy to Moshe, that the Bilam was hired to harm the Jewish people. And Vayahafech Hashem es haklala lebracha, and Hashem converted and transformed the curse to a blessing, ki ehevcha Hashem eloikecha, because Hashem loves you. So Hashem switched and flipped over the curse into a blessing and made it all, and we find that Bilam uttered not just ordinary blessings, but the highest and most magnificent blessings to the Jewish people came out of the mouth of Bilam, the mouth of that wicked person. And particularly, the most elaborate descriptions, at least in the Torah itself, aside for the Navi, for the Nach, but in the Torah itself, the most elaborate and detailed description about Mashiach is in the Nevuah in the prophecies of Bilam, in the blessings that Bilam gave. And that is consistent with the idea that Mashiach comes when we take the primary job, and the primary world of Mashiach is related to the conversion of darkness to light. When, as a result of all the mitzvahs we do, we take all the darkness that's in this world and convert it to light, that's when Mashiach comes. And therefore, the blessings about Mashiach also came about in the same manner, that initially it came from an evil person with a wicked and foul mouth, and from him came out the most magnificent and wonderful blessings. So the klalus itself, and he intended, when he opened his mouth to speak, he always intended a curse, and Hashem forced blessings out, converted that dark energy, and turned it into a wonderful, wonderful blessing. So right in the end of the parsha, before Bilam leaves back, he's leaving in frustration and disappointment because he was, got to be the big hero over here, going to accomplish something great in bringing about the elimination of Israel, and he was going to get paid a massive amount of money, a fortune, but in the end, he forfeited it all because he couldn't curse the Jewish people. So he turns to Balak and he leaves him with last licks. He leaves him with a few prophecies just for him to remember and just for him to grind his teeth, because of course he hated the Jews, and he prophesied about the greatness of the Jewish people. And he looks out all the way far, far, far in the end of history, in the end of days. And the pasuk says like this. This is in Perek. In Perek Chav Dalid, Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Bilam says, "Erenu, I see him, v'loy ata, and not now." Meaning, I see the Jewish people, but not now. I see something happening to them in the future. Ashurenu, I behold it, v'loy karov, but it is not soon. Dorach koichav miYakov, a star will shoot forth from Yaakov. V'kom shevet mi Yisrael, and a staff will rise from Israel. From amongst the Jewish people there will be a powerful leader. Umochatz, and he will strike Pasei Moav, the princes of Moav. V'karkar, and he will undermine Kol b'nei Sheis, all the children of Sheis. So Rashi learns that this pasuk, at least the beginning of the pasuk, now the pasuk is referring to King David. That King David is going to wipe out the princes of Moab. So that was a prophecy out into the future. But then he continues. V'hoya Edom Yeresha. And Edom, the Edomites, the descendants of Esav, Yeresha, they will be possessed by the Israelites, by the Jewish people. V'hoya yireisha seir oivav, and seir will also be possessed by its enemies, which are the Jewish people. Seir is the kingdom of Esav. The Yisrael oisa choil, but the Jewish people will prosper. When will this happen? That Edom is going to be destroyed, and Edom is going to become possession of the Jewish people. We learned in last week's shir that we learned that Edom, the Jewish people, were not given permission when they entered into the land with Moshe to conquer Edom. And that they had to go around Edom. That was the discussion of last week's shir. And here we say Edom will become the possession of the Jewish people. So the verse continues in verse 19 in Pasuk Yutes. V'yerd, when will all this happen? V'yerd, when there will be a ruler. Yerd is a lashon of dominion, sovereignty. V'yerd, when there will be a ruler, miYaakov, that is going to emerge from Yaakov. The Hevid, and he is going to destroy Sarid, any remnant may ear from the city. And Rashi says, referring to the city of Rome, Ir HaChashuva Sheberoimi, the capital of Rome, which is, of course, the Edomite kingdom, which later turned into the Western world. And he is going to conquer Edom. Who is this? So Rashi says, who is this Veyerd? Who is this ruler that is going to rule Miyakov? Rashi explains, referring to, I read the Rashi, Veyerd Miyakov, Oid Yie Moishel Achar, there's going to be another ruler, Miyakov, who's going to come from Yaakov. And he is going to Vehevit Sarid Meir HaChashuva Shel Edom Vehiraimi, from the important city of Edom, which is Rome. And who are we talking about? Val Melech HaMashiach Oimerken. We're referring to King Mashiach. Shenemar boy, which it says by him, Vayerd miyam madyam, that he will rule. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, in which it says, this is in Rashi's quoting from Tehillim Ayin Beis, from Psalm 72, talking about, simply it's talking about the kingdom of King Solomon, of Shlomo HaMelech. It begins with Shlomo. But Rashi over there in Tehillim says that Rabbi Seinu Darshu, that the our Rebbe's Darshan, our sages teach that Perek, that this psalm in Tehillim is referring to the King Mashiach. So over there it says, in Pasuk Ches, V'yerd miyam madyam, that this great leader, he's going to have sovereignty, he's going to rule miyam adyam, from sea to sea, Iminohar, and from the river Radafse Aretz to the ends of the earth. His kingdom is going to expand across the globe, from sea to sea, from river to the corners of the earth. There's also in Zechariah, same words, referring to Mashiach, in Zechariah, in Perek Tes, chapter 9, Pasuk Yud, well, I'll begin first with Pasuk Tes. It says, Gili mi'oid bas Tzion. Rejoice, O daughter of Tzion. Rejoice very much. Hari, hari, shout out. Bas Yerushalayim, the daughters of Jerusalem. Hine malkech yavo, your king is coming. Lach to you, tzaddik. He is a righteous man. Venoisha, who? And he's one that has been saved, one that has been helped, I guess, by Hashem. Oni, he is a poor man. V'roichev alachamoyer, he's riding on a donkey. The famous image of Mashiach coming with a shofar, riding on the donkey. Val ayer ben asoinois, and on a type of donkey, ben asoinois. And then it says in the next pasuk, pasuk yud, quoting only the second half of the pasuk. Umishaloi, and his rulership is going to be miyam adyam, from sea to sea, uminor, and from river adafse ores to the corners of the earth. What does it mean miyam adyam, from sea to sea, uminor adafse ores? So, and again, with the connection to this week's parasha is because by us it says v'yerd miYaakov, a ruler will come forth from Yaakov, they will have dominion, and In the Torah, it's bekitzer. In the Nevuah of Bilam, everything is concise. But in the Navi, it's a little more elaborate. Vayerd, this dominion is going to expand, is going to engulf the entire planet, the entire world. That's what the Evan Ezra says. He describes the Pasuk. This is in Tehillim, in the Evan Ezra and Pasuk Tehillim. In Pasuk Yudalid, not in Pasuk Yudalid, in Pasuk, Pasuk Ches, on the Pasuk Vayerd. So he says, he translates the meaning of this Pasuk referring to Shlomo HaMelech, and then he explains it to mean one thing. But then he says, V'im hal Mashiach, and if it's referring to Mashiach, then Miyam Hadroimi, when it says he's going to rule from sea to sea, which seas are we referring to? Miyam Hadroimi, from the southern sea, Hanikra Hayam HaOdoim, which is called the Red Sea, which is to the south. El Yam Tzafoin, to the sea of the north. Shu Yam Ukiyonis, so Ukiyonis is usually referred to the Atlantic, which is in the northern, I guess, the northern hemisphere. So what the verse is trying to say from sea to sea is that he's going to rule from south to north. Uminohar, and from the river, what does it mean? It's referring to Nohar Yoytse Me'eden, the river that's going out of Eden. Which river is going out of Eden? Shoot, Bitchilas Mizrach. That's at the beginning of the east. Because Eden, the Pasuk describes Venar Yoytse Me'eden, and then it forks in, there's a river that goes out of Eden. And then from there, we're in the story of creation, right? The beginning of Bereshis. And it says that the river forks in V'hoyelar bar Rashim, it becomes four river heads. And those four rivers, one of them is the Euphrates, and the Tigris River, and the other rivers, and the Nile River. So these four, the four rivers, they're all over there somewhere in Iraq. You can imagine? That was Gan Eden. That area, somewhere over there, is Gan Eden. Doesn't look like much like a Gan Eden today, Nebuch. A killing field. You can see how human beings can do to the world is they can take a Gan Eden and turn it into a blood-soaked jungle. Very, very sad. But that's the area. So, Minohar, from the river that's going out of Eden, Ad afse aret, to the ends of the earth, means Shubasif Mairev, which is at the end of the west. Which means all the way from the east to the west. His kingdom is going to extend from south to north and from the east to west, encompassing all of the world. That's the explanation of the Pasuk. So we need to understand why this description. I mean, the Navi wants to tell us that Mashiach is going to be a world ruler. His monarchy, his kingdom, is going to extend over the entire world. So say, v'yimloichu, v'yerd, al kol ha'olam. He will rule over the world. What do you need the particulars? You see, if we're learning this passage on Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech was only a king over the land of Israel, not over other countries. People other countries were submitted to him, and were in awe of him, and were afraid of him. But he literally didn't rule over the entire world. And that's where the Evan Ezra says that his rulership, when it says Miyam Ad Yam, it's talking about the borders of the land of Israel. It's talking about the Mediterranean Sea and the like. So then we understand that has to give us the borders of the land of Israel. But if we're saying it means the entire world, from Israel to New Zealand and the Americas and across and around the entire globe. So if this is the case, so just say Al-Kol Olam on the whole world. What do you have to emphasize? From sea to sea, from rivers to the end of the earth. And Bechlal, since when is there a dominion really on the oceans? When we're talking about it, he's ruling. He's ruling over men on human beings, humans, the civilized world. People live on dry land, not on the oceans. Okay, we know that in terms of, you know, in nations, you know, they have, the nation has control over the sea, over the waters. And it's considered territory, you know, next to the area of the sea, next to a certain country, is considered the territory of that country. And but for what practical purposes? So in a time of war, of course, that's necessary. But in Mashiach's times won't be a time of war. So then what's the emphasis over here that he's going to be a king over the oceans, over the seas? He's the king over the world. And when it talks about when Hashem's kingdom, what does it say? V'hoya Hashem l'melech, Hashem is going to be a king. Al kol ha'aretz, over the entire land. Why do we have something emphasized over here about the waters, both the rivers and the seas? And it talks about two seas, miyam ad yam. So to understand this, let's get a little bit of a deeper appreciation about that magnificent, wonderful world that we are so close and yet so desperately awaiting for. The beautiful Mashiach world. We know that Mashiach, generally for most Jews, Mashiach is a reward. It's a reward. You know, God gives us tests. Life is a test. And it's an ongoing test. And we've been tested and tested for such a long time. Then it's time to reward us. And Hashem has different kinds of rewards. One of the rewards is for the afterlife. And Hashem, when it goes up to Gan Eden, it gets schar. It gets reward for the mitzvahs that it does. And then there is another reward that Hashem is going to give to the Jewish people and to righteous people all over the world in the end of days. And that's Mashiach. That's a reward. And there's another reward, Tchias HaMesim, and the like. These are all reward. However, that is not the meaning. That's a very, very superficial and shallow understanding of Mashiach. The Mashiach world is not a reward. The Mashiach world, as we spoke already in different classes, Mashiach is the final product of what mankind is toiling for, and particularly what the Jewish people are working at. The culmination of all the work of all the tzaddikim and all the ordinary people and all the mesiras nefesh and all the self-sacrifice and all the prayers and all the mitzvahs and all the Torah study and everything that has been done from the very beginning of days, from Adam HaRishon until the end of days. It all brings kedusha. It's all bringing holiness. It's all bringing a presence of God into the world. And that godliness must manifest. That godliness must reveal itself. And when is that going to happen? When Mashiach comes. Mashiach comes when all that kedusha creates such an intense, potent force. See, up till now, it's there. This is the godliness is gathering and gathering and gathering and gathering. But it's all closed. It's all covered up. It's covered up by something that is blocking it from it to reveal itself. Because if it would be revealed instantly, then we wouldn't have free choice. And since the whole purpose was to serve and make this world into a godly place by our own volition and our own free choice, so therefore this godliness is concealed and blocked and it isn't open. But, and if Mashiach comes, it's going to be revealed. But how is it going to happen? When the last and final mitzvah, and we don't know whose mitzvah it's going to be, but there is going to be that one mitzvah that's going to break the camel's back. There's one mitzvah that is going to cause such an intense pressure, a pressure of godly light, of holiness, of goodness, and that goodness is going to come shooting forth like a powerful eruption of a volcano, and it's going to spill its holy lava throughout the entire planet and the entire world, filled with light, filled with goodness, filled with blessings, filled with godly awareness. And the world is spontaneously going to erupt into a magnificent song. Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash. Ki Nifla Yisasa, that he has wonders that he has done. But it's not Hashem that's bringing that Mashiach. It's us. It's our work. In the words of the Tanya, he says that Shashlemus the Yemoisa Mashiach, that the Shlemus, the perfection of the days of Mashiach, Tolu it is dependent. B'maaseinu v'avodeiseinu, in our toil and our work and our work. Kol zman meshech hagolus, all the duration of the time of exile. Which means that through our work of Torah and mitzvahs that we do now, we are bringing this holiness into the world, which will reveal itself when Mashiach comes. Mashiach is not a revolution. Mashiach is a revelation. It's what, and of course, that revelation is going to bring about a powerful revolution. But it's primarily a revelation of everything that was there already as a result of our mitzvahs. So, and therefore, being that Mashiach is a product of our work in Golos, it is for that reason that the work and what we produce has to be consistent with each other. This is the work you're doing. If a carpenter has a certain style, then that's going to be the style of the table. So the Mashiach world is going to be a reflection of the type of work that we did. So since our work, the human being or the Jewish people, and our work that we do when we as a result in our service to Hashem and our performance of Torah and mitzvahs, is in a manner in which we develop ourselves, as we're going to see soon, from sea to sea and from river to the corners of the earth, ad af seyaretz, from a sea to a sea, miyam ad yam, minor ad af seyaretz. Since in our avoda and in our life there are these components in our service, it is for that reason that this is going to be shown in the Mashiach Tegel world. So let's understand that. What does it mean? Where do we find our service, our Mashiach Tegel service, that is related to the seas and is related to the river? And the idea is like this. Just like there is a general Mashiach, and Mashiach is a human being, Mashiach is a person who's going to be recognized as a world leader, and the entire world is going to submit to him, because of his magnificent wisdom, righteousness, infinite kindness and benevolence. He's going to be blessed with an incredible, incredible charismatic charisma and ability to reach and capture the hearts and minds of the entire world. And he's going to teach the world endless wisdom and endless knowledge. And he's going to elevate all of humanity higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher to connect to their creator. He is the ultimate human being, the messenger of God, to elevate all of creation. So there is a Mashiach who is a universal ruler. But each and every one of us has a Mashiach inside of us. Each and every person has a little bit of Mashiach. And what we might say, we might call this the macro Mashiach, and there is the micro Mashiach. When does the macro Mashiach come? When we discover the micro Mashiach, the microscopic Mashiach, or the micro, whatever that word is, the microcosm Mashiach that is within each and every one of us. Then that leads to the revelation of the greater Mashiach. And this is an idea stated in Sefer Ma'or Einayim, from the Chernobyl, a tzaddik, Reb Nochum of Chernobyl, one of the great disciples of the holy Baal Shem Tov, and later of Reb Doiv Beir, the holy Maggid of Mizrich, one of the great Hasidic masters. The name of the book is Ma'or Einayim. It illuminates the eyes. It lights up a person's eyes when you read that book. So he brings in the name of his holy teacher, the Baal Shem Tov. I'm going to quote his words. He says, "Shetzarech kol echad mi Yisrael," that every single yid needs to lesaken, to rectify, ulehechen, and to prepare chelak koimas Mashiach, the part of the koima, the infrastructure of Mashiach hashayach lenishmasai, that is shayach to his neshama. There is a point of Mashiach in every person. And you have to develop your Mashiach inside of you. And it's through your own Mashiach that you will relate, connect, and attach yourself to the universal Mashiach. And a Mashiach cannot do his job until there are enough Jews, doesn't have to be necessarily everybody, but there are enough Jews whose Mashiach spark is active and developed. Now this is an interesting idea, this idea that Mashiach is that every person has a spark of Mashiach. It's said about Moshe Rabbeinu as well, of the great leaders, that they put a piece of themselves in every person. But there's an interesting remez to that. It says in Yerushalmi, in Maaser Sheni, Seif Perik Dalet, it says in the pasuk Dorach Koichov Miyakov, on this week's parsha, that a star is going to shine, shoot forth from Yaakov. So in Masechtas Maaser Sheni, in the end of Perek Dalet, the Rishalmi darshans this pasuk that is referring to every Jew. That every Jew is called Darach. The Rishalmi says an interesting story over there. about a non-Jew and a Jew, and I don't remember the story, but I do remember there was an interesting story about it. And the Rishalmi says that because it says Darach Koychav Mi Yaakov, and it's referring to a Jew, any Jew. There's another place in Yerushalmi, and this is in Masechtas Tainis, Perek Dalet, Halacha Hey, that the Rishalmi learns that the Pasuk Darach Koychav Mi Yaakov is referring to Mashiach. So which one is it? Is it referring to a star, is referring to Mashiach, or is it referring to every Jew? And the answer is, every single Jew, it's referring to the Mashiach that's in everybody. It's referring, of course, to the great and grand central Mashiach, but also to the individual Mashiach that's in every single person. What is this Mashiach within every person? So, in Tanya, there is something, a very fascinating discussion, in which he talks about the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Ein ben David deba ela behesach hadas. Mashiach will not come only when we divert our attention from him. Simply, it means Mashiach is going to get us by surprise. He's going to catch us unprepared. He's going to catch us in a moment when we weren't thinking about him. And therefore, some people think that that means it's better not to think about Mashiach, not to be aware of it, not to pray for it. But if that's the case, then why did the sages put it into our Siddur? Like three times a day, Asemach David Avdecha, Mehedos Atzmiach, the plant of David's. Of David, your servant, Mehera, quickly, Tatzmiach, make it sprout forth. Bekarnei Tarum, and his horn, his crown, his horn, Tarum, you should raise, you should, right? We daven for it every time we bench. We're always davening for Mashiach. Non-stop. It's one of the 13 principles of faith, and Rambam says, not only are we supposed to believe in Mashiach, but we have to wait for Mashiach every second. And the Rambam says if someone doesn't await for Mashiach, not only if he doesn't believe in him, he doesn't await for Mashiach, he's a koifer. The Rambam says very harsh words, he's a heretic. So it is something that we need to believe in Mashiach and await for Mashiach. How can it be that Mashiach, how can it be that Mashiach comes, behesach hadas means we're not thinking about it. So the Tanya explains it in a more Hasidic interpretation. Hesach Hadas doesn't mean you remove it from your, it's out of your mind, you're not thinking about it. Hesach Hadas means Mashiach is related to a nekuda, to a point in a person's neshama, in a person's soul, that is higher than Das, higher than knowledge. Knowledge, as magnificent as knowledge is, the mind has a limit. The mind has a limit. There's a limit to how much we understand, to how much we apprehend, how much we can know. Our soul, however, is deeper than knowledge. And our soul connects to God on a level much higher than knowledge. You see, if our relationship to Hashem would be solely and exclusively through the mind and nothing else, then we would be connecting to a God that's as big as our mind. Okay, even if you have a great mind, but how big is that already? Is that not the, that's not God Himself? It's a tiny little crumb of a crumb of a crumb of a crumb of a crumb of how much you can understand. And that's it you're connecting to. But our neshama goes deeper than our mind. Neshama has a koyach haseichel, but that the koyach haseichel is not the neshama. It's a koach in the neshama. The neshama is chelik alakai, it's a piece of divinity, higher than any intelligence, higher than any seichel. And the neshama on that, over there, is where the neshama is attached to God Almighty Himself, to Hashem Himself, not to a limited description of Hashem, but Hashem as Hashem truly is, as He really is. That's how that's where we're related to faith. Emunah comes from there. Stubbornness, akshanis, where the Jewish people are stubborn, a stiff-necked nation, but no matter what, they remain connected to Hashem. Mashiach's coming, behesach hadas, he says, means that when Mashiach comes, we will discover that dimension of our soul. Now we work around and we're intellectuals, we understand, we know. We don't discover the madness, we don't feel the madness of our soul. Our love to Hashem that transcends, that goes way beyond any reason and any logic. That we were driven with an infinite drive. When Mashiach comes, in other words, in order when we want to make Mashiach come within ourselves, it means to reveal within ourselves the spark, the point of connection. in which we are connected to God far beyond any explanation that can limit it. See, if I have a reason why I am serving Hashem, because, then there's a limit to how devoted you are. Because the because has a limit. Whatever reason you're going to give, it has a limit. But if you relate, if you're connected to Hashem without any because, not with any reason, then there's nothing to limit it. How far is it? It goes and it goes endlessly. And therefore you're ready to give everything. There's nothing to confine it. To get a little bit of a better understanding in this idea, of this Hesach Hadas idea, we know that there are five levels in the neshama. The Medrash says, Chamisha Shemais Nikrolai, there are five levels of the soul. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. Nefesh, part of our soul, is our... before we explain the individual parts of the soul, just like we have an individual nefesh, ruach neshama, and a chay and yechida to each individual person, so too the Kabbalists tell us that the Jewish people are really one person. They're really one entity. So the Jewish people as a whole also have five tzaddikim, which personify, which those tzaddikim were the ones that they were the neshama kaleles, they were the klaliest, the general power within the Jewish people of this particular level. So David HaMelech personified, and he contained within himself the nefesh of the Jewish, of all of Israel, of all the Jewish people. He is the nefesh. Eliyahu HaNavi, he is the ruach of the Jewish people. He is the spirit of Israel. Well, you find that these people are not such, they're not individual people, tzaddikim. Every Jew is connected to King David, to David HaMelech. Every Jew says Tehillim. And every Jew can find in the book of Tehillim how David HaMelech is expressing what my feelings, this is my heart, this is my feelings, this is my longing. How did David HaMelech know how I feel? How did David HaMelech be able to sense my soul? Because we're all plugged into David HaMelech's neshama. And when we say Tehillim, we say it in the end of Tehillim, in the back, there's a Yeratzin in which we say, let it be considered ki'ilu omer David HaMelech alav ha-shalom ba'atzmai, as if David HaMelech said it himself. What do you mean? I'm saying, I'm Yankel, whatever, Greenberg, whatever, I'm saying Tehillim, it should be considered as David HaMelech. And the answer is no. The part of you that's saying Tehillim is the David HaMelech that's inside of you, because David is the nefesh of the Jewish people. Eliyahu HaNavi, we're also so connected to. He visits us all the time. By every bris, every time a Jewish baby is born, Eliyahu HaNavi is there by the bris. Once a year we get to see him, or get to at least know that he's at our Seder, comes to visit us. So he's connected to all of us. And when people need a particular Yeshua, there he is, he shows up. Sometimes we don't realize, or most of the times, I'm sure he visits us all so many times, we don't know that was Eliyahu HaNavi. He's hidden. And then there is a neshama of the Jewish people. The neshama of Israel is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the neshama hakolelus of all the Jewish people. Now these three powers, nefesh, ruach, neshama, we spoke about it either last year or 2 years ago in the parsha class of Chukas, are powers of the soul that are invested in the body. They reside within the person. These are the internalized parts of our nefesh. But then we have what we call koiches makifim. We have koiches makifim. And koiches makifim, we have koiches makifim, encompassing powers, which are the chay and yechida. These are parts of our soul that are so powerful and so potent, they don't settle inside the body. And they remain above the body. Above the body doesn't mean far away. It doesn't even mean close by, hugging your body. It means that it's within you, but it's not something that you can internalize. It's considered, it has influence on the person, but it's like something from the outside pushing you. It can't internalize it. And on the why? Listen, see, in general, b'chlal neshama, a soul, you can't say it's here or there. It doesn't have limitations of space. A neshama is not within the boundaries of makayim, of time and space. It's a spiritual entity, just like you can't say, you know, on an idea, on a mathematical equation. We can't say, 3 + 2 = 5. So you say, oh, it's here. I put it down on the table. Can you pass it to me? Here, I'm going to pass it to you. What am I passing to you? I'm passing to you the 3 + 2 = 5. I can teach it to you. But it's not that I moved the object, I moved the idea. Now you become aware of the idea because it entered into your consciousness. When it doesn't occupy space to say it's here or there, a concept doesn't have a space in which, or at least physical space. So if a concept, which is seichel, is not limited in space, and a neshama, which is higher than seichel, it's pure godliness, definitely doesn't have a space. So what do we say that there is parts of the neshama that are in the body? It means they're internalized. We experience them in an internalized way, and we experience them from the inside. And then there are the powers, chay and yechida, which are on the outside. They're bigger than our limitations. So chay, who is the chay? Chay is Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon is the chay haklolis. He is the soul that incorporates all souls on the level of chay. And Yechida, that is Mashiach. Mashiach is going to be the greatest human being ever to live. And he is the Yechida HaKoleles of all of the world and all of the Jewish neshamas. So now let's understand a little bit. And that is why we said earlier that Mashiach comes Behesach Hadas, with Hesach Hadas. Hesach Hadas means beyond knowledge. Because Das is Shayach to the Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the one who teaches us Torah. That's the mind. Moshe is the mind of the Jewish people. But Mashiach is higher than the mind. So therefore, to activate Mashiach, you have to go deeper in your soul to a place that is far more powerful than one's mind. So what does that mean? So let's just go through the five powers of the soul as they apply in an individual level to each and every one of us. Nefesh is the power of us in behavior. The nefesh is the power most related to the body. Ki nefesh ha-basar is the nefesh of the flesh. It motorizes behavior, action. And action, we mean primarily three things: thoughts, speech, and literally the actions, the activity that you do. So to move your fingers, you have to have your nefesh. You actualize your nefesh when you're moving your fingers, when you're drumming on the table, when you're walking, taking a stroll, when you are eating and moving your jaws, any physical activity that you're doing. You are now activating your nefesh. If you're doing a mitzvah, then you're activating your holy nefesh. Because we also have an unholy nefesh. But when we do a mitzvah, we're activating, you're drawing the energy from your nefesh, and that is enabling the act to happen, right? Motorizing the act. But then there is a deeper level of the neshama called ruach. Ruach is the emotional strata of your soul. It's when you feel, meaning not only am I doing good things, not only am I, you know, acting upon God's will, but I'm actually feeling, and I feel a relationship with Hashem. I feel love of Hashem. I'm loving Hashem. I feel God. I love God with all my heart. All your heart. I fear Hashem. I feel awe of Hashem. Awe of a year of love and fear. That's the ruach within a person. A deeper dimension of soul. And then, right? And we all have it. It's just that, so sadly, that right before we live, right before Be'ikvas and the Mashiach, before Mashiach comes, our souls are so numb that we're just operating on almost all the time only on nefesh. So we go out, and it's beautiful. Our nefesh at least is active. We get up, we're putting on tefillin, we're going to shul, we're davening, we're doing this mitzvah, and then we go again back for mincha, and we bench, and we say brachas. The body is doing what it's supposed to be doing. The nefesh is active. But there's lacking the inner soul, the inner excitement, the fervor, the energy, the emotions, the juice. That's the ruach. But then there is a higher level of soul, and that's the intelligence. That's the neshama. Neshama's intelligence. Nishmas shakai tevineim. Neshama shayach tebina. To understanding. So the neshama is the mind. So when a person uses their mind to explore elokus, to explore godliness, and by the way, just an important plug for Hasidus. We're living in the days before Mashiach, and Hashem has gifted the world with such an incredible gift called Torah HaChasidus, in which a person can explore the godly, in which a person can come to know Hashem in a magnificent way, way beyond anything else that's out there. And it's important for people to know this. And there's hundreds of books that are sitting in the shelves. And you can buy them. You can read them. So many are being translated in English. And this can enable you to enter into the deeper part of your soul called the neshama. And if you're not doing it, you can learn Torah, you can learn a lot of Gemara all day and a lot of Mavim. Even though that's a mitzvah, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam, but it's not related to the seichel of your nefesh aliki, of your godly soul, which has an ability to know Hashem. So you have to learn about it. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. It's a mitzvah not only to believe in God, but to lay that, to know, to understand. And that comes through the learning of Chassidus. But that's a parenthetical idea. The neshama is the seichel. And when a person has not only natural, because we all have naturally a natural warmth to Hashem, a naturally feelings of love. Every yid has beyerusha from Avram Avinu, a feeling of avas Hashem, yiras Hashem. If we don't feel it, it's because we covered it up with all kinds of junk. Because we put our passion and our love into all kinds of chazarai, all kinds of stupidity, all kinds of meaningless things. We drain our love and there's nothing left to love Hashem. Chayvus HaLavus says that a person can't have two loves in his heart at the same time. Love of Hashem and love of the world. So if you want to love God, you have to cut down on the love and the passion and the drive in worldly things so you can discover your love and love Hashem. So, but even love, you have Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, that's nice. But you can enrich your experience so much deeper. Not just you could, you're supposed to, we need to. By using our minds, by filling our mind with holiness, with knowledge of Hashem. That's our neshama. But then there is a deeper level, and that is called the level of Chai. And what is Chai? Chai is called related to the element of Ratzon. And over here, what we mean Ratzon means will, willpower, will, desire. But we're talking about unadulterated will. Will that is not limited and not filtered by the mind or diminished by the mind. You see, generally, how do we get to want something? It comes from our seichel. We look around. We observe. We see things that look like they should be pursued. They look like good things. So we get excited about getting to know them, getting close to them, connecting to them. Whether it's a person, whether it's a science, a study, something to learn, something to study, something to know, whether it's an object, whatever it is. Right? It's our mind that brings the excitement. But as we said earlier, the mind is limited. So the excitement that comes from the mind always has a limitation. But then there is the raw will, the raw power of will that's in the soul. That is just a power of desire. And in the soul itself, before it gets filtered through the mind, it's an infinite power of love, of yearning, of desire for Hashem. The neshama, being it's a piece of God, has an endless desire. It just wants and wants and wants relentlessly its desire to connect Hashem. Not based on any understanding, because understanding, again, is always limited. It's just a force. It's a madness. Because a person is in touch with that part of his neshama, of his chai, the person looks like a madman. And we have absolutely no doubt that if we would witness Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, when he went to do a mitzvah or when he prayed, you would walk out and say, that man is a total meshugana. They said that about him. I'm a meshugana. Because he would throw himself like a madman. Like a madman. The Nevi'im were called meshugayim. He said in the Navi, it says, Meduam ba ha-meshuga hazet. Now this is, what's meshuga? This is, meshuga over here means, like there is, you know, we have meshuga for sushi. Meshuga for sushi, what does it mean? So when a person says, I'm crazy about something. I'm crazy about something means, I've gone beyond reason. It doesn't make any sense. I had sushi for breakfast, I have sushi for lunch, I have sushi for dinner, Monday, Tuesday, when I just want sushi again and again and again. Stop already, relax. There's other things to eat. No, I'm a sugar for sushi, right? I'm crazy about. So anything that is in this world, it's not worth being meshuggah for. We shouldn't be crazy about it. A person is supposed to be guided by their mind, because the world, worldly things are finite, limited, and therefore they don't deserve unlimited attention. But God, who is infinite, deserves infinite attention and an infinite excitement. We cannot understand enough to excite ourselves enough based on our understanding. But what we do have is a craziness, a madness in our soul that wants a connection to Hashem without any limit. Crazy about God, crazy about Yiddishkeit, crazy about Torah. Ooh, that's chai. But then there's even deeper than that, called Yechida. And what is Yechida? Yechida is an attachment to Hashem that is even deeper than the Chai. Yechida means not I want to be close to Hashem, not I very, very, very much desire a connection to Hashem, but I cannot not be connected. I cannot be separated. I'm one already. I cannot be separated, no matter what. You cannot separate me from Hashem. No matter what you're going to do to me, you can't pull me away from God. There's nothing that matters. There's nothing in the world that can make me leave go of my essence. My essence and the Yid and Hashem are one at this level. That's Yechidah. Yechidah means oneness. So when in Chai, it's experienced more as a desire to connect, but an unlimited desire. But you're still you, and Hashem is Hashem, and I want the connection. Yechida is a depth of realization, a depth in the soul where you're connected. And when you feel Yechida, you're inseparable. That's what drives a Yid to literally give his life up al Kiddush Hashem. And every Jew has that. That's what we call Pintel Yid, the point inner, the nucleus of the nucleus of the soul. The inner point where the Jew is indivisible and inseparable from Hashem. He gives his life up not because he chooses to give his life up, because he cannot disconnect from God. That's Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, we're going to be all in touch with our Yechidah Sheva Nefesh. That's how deep our Judaism is going to be. In order to make Mashiach come in the world, we need to first have the Mashiach inside of us, which is this Nekudas Hayahadus, this Hesachadas, this place beyond reason, this madness of the soul, or even deeper than the madness, as we mentioned earlier, this connection to Hashem that is unshakable and unbreakable and steel strong, right? That part of your neshama, right? The Mashiach inside of us needs to find expression and dominate. What does it mean Mashiach comes? Maybe, right? Say Mashiach. Maybe Mashiach is around. And every generation it says there is someone who's ready to be Mashiach. So Mashiach exists. Problem is, it's not enough that Mashiach is Mashiach. The world has to recognize him. The world has to acknowledge, and the world has to submit himself to him. Every single Jew, every single person is an entire world. You need your own world, your own sphere, your own space to submit to Mashiach's kingdom. And what does it mean to submit to Mashiach? When the point of your connection to God, which is your Mashiach inside of you, becomes the sole decider in your body. It becomes the ruler of your body. It rules you entirely from head to toe. That's when Mashiach has spread throughout you. And when Mashiach has come inside of us, Mashiach comes in the world. So this is a very, very important idea. We need to bring Mashiach inside of us. That's what the Maranai means. A person has to be Mesakin Koimas Mashiach. Koimas means the entire infrastructure. There is a point of Mashiach, yes, but you have to take this point and develop it. And that's the meaning of Mashiach needs to rule the Yerd. He's going to rule me Yam ad Yam, from sea to sea, Uminor ad Afseyaris, from the river to the ends of the earth. What does that mean? So sea to sea, Vinor, it means as follows. What does it mean from sea to sea? What are the seas? So a human being is divided into two worlds. Because when we look in the world in general, you see that the world has two zones. There is dry land, there is Aretz, dry land, and there is sea. What's the difference between sea and dry land? Sea is a place that is covered. It's an unknown place. It's blocked, it's covered, it's concealed. It's a world of darkness. It's unknown. They call it the last frontier, the place that we don't know about. We're exploring, but the sea is a mystery. Dry land, everything is exposed. You can see everything. The sea has forests, the seas have mountains, it has canyons, it has caves. And there's all kinds of worlds under the sea, but it's all covered. Dry land, everything is open, noticeable, recognizable. That is, so a human being has two parts to him. The sea in the human being means your private self, your inner world. Your dry land means your exposed self, your outer self, the part of you that's seen on the outside. Mashiach has to rule. We have to dominate both in our sea, miyam ad yam, o minor ad af seyaret. Our own human sea and our own dry land, when Mashiach extends his power, when our Mashiach inside of us, our deep fanatical connection to Hashem, in which we're not willing to compromise one iota, when that takes control over every facet of our being, a Mashiach has come to me. So how does that happen? So let's first understand, what does it mean, the two seas? So there is a pasuk in Zechariah, mentioned earlier Zechariah, this is a little later in Zechariah, where it says that v'hoya b'yoy mahu, it will be on that day, also referring to the days of Mashiach, yatsu mayim chayim Yerushalayim, living waters, well, spring water will go out from Yerushalayim. Chetzyam, half of those spring waters will travel al yama kadmoini, to the eastern sea. V'chetzyam al yama achroin, and the other half of the water will journey down al yama achroin to the final sea. So we see there are two seas, yama kadmoini and yama achroin. Inside a person's nefesh, what is yama kadmoini? Yama kadmoini means your first koach nefesh. Person is made up of multiple kochos, multiple powers. The first koach that we have control over, the first koach that is in our main consciousness, is the koach ha-chachma, the power of wisdom, is our mind. In general, it's the power of chachma bin adas, but more in general, it's the mind, the power of chachma. And when we say that mavayer, that Mashiach needs to rule miyam, means that what do we do with our mind? Bringing Mashiach inside of me, the first conquest I need to make is I need that the Mashiach inside of me, my devotion, commitment to Hashem that's embedded in my neshama, should dominate my mind, rule over my mind. That means that my mind has no other business to be busy with anything else but to explore godliness. Our minds are curious. And the mind is so precious, but we waste it. Because there's a lot of interesting stuff that we want to read about. I'm curious, I want to know about this, I want to know about that, I want to read about this. Not necessarily bad stuff. But there's something much, much better you can do with your mind. And that is you can get to know God. You can fill your mind with holiness, with godliness. And that's the first conquest. Mashiach has to first rule over your sea. Because if your mind is going to be in a good place, and all that you're thinking, all the knowledge, the Rambam says that a person does not get the sin, and negative thoughts do not come to a person, unless he has a, I forgot the lashon of the Rambam, but the Rambam says unless his heart is empty, he doesn't fill his heart with good content and his mind with good content, that's where the negative comes in. So the first dominion, in order to create and make ourselves completely holy and godly, the first thing is Mashiach, the Yerd, Mashiach needs to rule me, Yam Akadmoini, the first Yam. That's the sea, that's the sea of knowledge. Fill your mind with holy knowledge. And when you're going to fill your mind with the holy knowledge, the next thing is going to happen, you're going to get excited about holy things. Because what we're thinking about and learning about and studying about, that's eventually gets us excited. And God is very excitable. It's a very, very, it's an infinite exciting subject to learn, and you never can end the beauty, the magnificent, the depth. So the heart gets excited. When our heart is excited, when we're emotionally excited about Kedusha, about holy things, what do you think is going to happen? The next thing is, it's going to make us think holy thoughts, and from the thoughts it comes holy speech. From holy speech it comes holy action. So the first thing, the first project, is to bring Hashem into our mind. Simply it means, we got to bring Mashiach now, we can't wait any longer. It's been already too much for the Jewish people to suffer. So we begin the project. Every spare moment we have, we are busy with making a living and doing certain things, but in the spare moment, the time that we have, make sure that you have something to study. Make sure that you have something to learn. Download Torah on your phone. Download it. Have it on your computer. Have a little book inside with you all the time. Fill your mind with godly knowledge. Make sure that V'yerd, Mashiach, and your fanatical desire to connect to God should expand into your moichin, into your mind, that your mind should be consumed with godliness and nothing else. But that's not enough. Having a holy mind is a good beginning, but that's not the whole thing. Sometimes we have our mind in a good place, but there is a certain a certain inconsistency between our behavior and our mind. Our mind, we know, we learn, we know so much, but it doesn't translate into behavior. I know that Hashem is the only reality, and that I should be all day long just seeking to do mitzvahs and doing good things, but when it comes into practical, in my everyday life, I get caught up with all kinds of other things. And my behavior is very inconsistent with what I know. It's a problem. We all suffer from that problem. And we don't match up. The outer person is not consistent with that inner, with the inner light, inner knowledge that the person has. So the Pasuk is saying, V'yeir, Mashiach is not enough that he rules over Yam, the first sea, but he has to extend his influence, Ad Yam Achroin, V'yeir, Miyam Ad Yam, to the latter sea. The latter sea is the final sea of the person, is the realm of action. Because that's the last Koach HaNefesh, the power of activity. So you fill yourself, and this is all part of your inner space, from all your Koaches HaNefesh, this is your powers, from your Koach HaChachma, all the way down to your Koach HaMaisa, is the Mashiach is the one, he is the mover or the shaker, he is the governor, he controls. Your connection to Hashem is in full control over everything. But then, the Pasuk continues, it's not enough to have Mashiach over your seas in your inner world. That the Mashiach has to extend his influence also from the river to the corners of the world. And what does that mean? What's the river? The river, it says, the river goes out of Eden. Mentioned this pasuk earlier. It goes out of Gan Eden, of Eden, and of a place called Eden, and it goes to water the Gan. So metaphorically, what does this mean? Gan, the garden, is not just referring up to a beautiful place called Gan Eden, where souls goes after the passes away from this world. Gan Eden, in essence, is really the entire world. The entire world is Gan Eden. Because initially, Hashem intended for the entire world to be a Gan Eden. This is God's garden. Because this is a place where Hashem is going to delight, he's going to receive pleasure. Hashem created the world for a place that he can stroll and enjoy and call it his home, and this will be his garden. When a person goes to a garden, what does a garden give? A garden is a place of tainuk, of pleasure. You walk through a garden and you smell the roses, you see the beautiful flowers, you feel the breeze, the trees are swaying, the fountains, the water, the streams. It's from time to time a person should visit gardens. There are beautiful gardens in Los Angeles. I forget to do it, but you've done this. Go out. I forgot already. We're in Pasadena. There's the garden there. There's some just magnificent gardens, and it fills you with such a delight and such a tranquility and such peacefulness. So the Eibishter created this world to be his garden, beautiful garden, a garden for God. How do we know that? When Mashiach, when Moshe Rabbeinu brought it, when completed the Mishkan, it says that Hashem came down that day to live in this world. And this was the happiest day of Hashem, the happiest day. It says that Hashem exclaimed with joy, Basi Legani, I came to my garden, Legnuni, to my private garden, to my place of delight, which is a magnificent thing. The world that we live in, it seems to be, and so many people have such a negative feeling about the world. It's ugly, it's dark, it's painful. There's so much loneliness, there's so much sadness. There's so much war and strife and jealousy and greed and hatred. There's so much darkness. And people think this is a bad place. This is Hashem's creation. This garden, the world is really a garden of God. This is Hashem's most beautiful garden. This is, man messed it up. We messed it up, so now when Mashiach, when our work for thousands of years is to restore it to what it is, to its pristine beauty. Every human being is a beautiful flower in Hashem's garden that adds beauty to the world. Everybody has potential to add so much light, such magnificence, such color to this world. And this is Hashem's garden. And here's what the Pasuk is saying. In order for Mashiach to come, you cannot say that, what, I am busy with myself. I'm going to fill my mind with Kedusha, my feelings with Kedusha, but I'm going to seclude myself from the whole world. Who cares about a world? It's not a Jewish world. I care. There's enough I should care about the Jewish people, about the non-Jew, about the Gentile. Who cares? It's not my business. I have to take care of myself. That's not true, the Pasuk is saying. The year the Mashiach's kingdom is going to be miyam ad yam, from sea to sea, that's your inner world. But then, minahar, the river, what's the river? The river that flows out of Eden. Eden is a private, godly place, no trespassing. But where does the river flow? Menor elagan, to the garden, which means that the ultimate objective is to fill the garden with godliness, with holiness. And that is an obligation upon every single person. You have to influence the world. Now, yes, every single person, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility, it's your responsibility to influence outsiders. Outsiders means not just meaning, and outside means many things. Outside of your home, outside of your family, neighbors, friends, talking about Jews, community members. And then you say, we're a little enclave, I'm religious, observant. No, it's your obligation to influence people that are not observant and bring them closer to Hashem, closer to Yiddishkeit. But even more than that, also Gentiles, every person, and God is expecting it from us. You're a Jew, you're a messenger of God. The world is waiting. If you're not going to open your mouth and say something godly to the bank, to your teller, to the point you're checking out in Trader Joe's or whatever it is, the people that you're meeting and your barber or your whatever, people that you meet constantly, people in the office, if you're not going to share something meaningful, something higher, something about the purpose in life, about how every person plays a role in Hashem's master plan, and by doing acts of goodness and kindness, we're fulfilling our purpose as human beings in making God, this world, a godly place. It's our obligation. And the world is waiting for us to talk, but we're so shy, we don't talk. Jews, who are we? Jews should be quiet. The Pasuk is saying when Mashiach needs to come, Minor Adaf Seyoretz, that the river has to reach how far? Adaf Seyoretz, the river has to flow everywhere. It's an obligation to teach, to educate, to influence, and to inspire. Right? Can't inspire the whole world? Start with the people you meet on a daily basis. Say something. Just one little thought, one little thing has such influence, such power. But the main thing over here is that it's not time you do these things. You do them with the energy and the alacrity and the fire of your Mashiach of you. That's the point. The yerd, your panini, your yechida sheben nefesh, your inner part of your soul. And it's not like, okay, I was yoytza, I fulfilled my obligation. That's not your Mashiach. That's nice, but that's not the Mashiach inside of you. Mashiach, meaning you extend that Yom Kippur Islavos, that excitement that you have once a year in Yom Kippur, you extend that into every aspect. Into your mind when you're learning Torah, filling your mind, going through all your kochis, reaching to your act of a mitzvah. That the act of the mitzvah is done with the realization that I'm a Jew and my connection to God is so powerful that I cannot not do, I can never sever myself from Hashem. And that's why I'm putting on tefillin right now, because I cannot disobey God at any cost. In other words, the same thing that would prompt me to jump into a fire and give my life up, Al-Kiddush Hashem, just in case I would have to do that because someone wants to tear me away from God, it's with that same energy that I'm putting on tefillin right now, with the same focus, with the same excitement. And I pour that out also in my relationships and the people that I meet. Ooh, we can bring that spark of Mashiach and extend it everywhere. We will very, very shortly see Melech B'yafyo Yitechzeno Enenu. Our eyes will behold the King in all his beauty, as his light will shine upon the entire world. And all of the world will willfully, excitedly accept him as their ruler and as their teacher and as their guide. And V'hoi Hashem L'melech al-kol ha'oretz, b'yoy mahu yi Hashem ha'chodesh mayachad. May it happen now.
Hallelujah.